Welcome to Sci-Fi Dig Show 345. I'm your host, Rhiannon Makeham.
And I am your other host, Aaron Makeham. And this time we are going to discuss a whole bunch of movies that we have seen either in a theater or, we had a nice Thanksgiving break.
We were able to
shove in the entire Lord of the Rings trilogy.
I woke up at like 8 o'clock in the morning one day just to watch Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I got her up early just so we can watch it.
Got me up. Yeah, right.
No, you were still. I got him up. Let's go.
Yeah, in his dreams.
Because some of us had to go to work. Anyway, so we always think about sitting down and recording a podcast about the movies, and just time is just not allowed. But we have a snow day. Yeah. So we were going to record tonight one way or the other. So
yeah,
this
so now we have a snow day. So now we've just been recording all day.
Yeah, it's crazy. So we have some movies we're going to talk about, and we'll get thoughts on them, and we'll try to be. Let's break it down. We'll do like a brief overview, and then we'll have a spoiler zone.
Okay.
How about that?
All right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think it sounds good.
I think that'll work. Unless we want to do a brief. Yeah, we'll do a brief overview, and then we'll have a spoiler zone, and I'll set a timer. We'll do 3 minutes for spoiler zone. That way, everybody can skip ahead if they don't want to be spoiled. How about that?
We'll
figure out the set time.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So the first movie we're going to talk about is 2013's Thor: The Dark World, which I took Rhiannon to. I took you to see the Avengers, and you've seen. Did you see all the Iron Man movies?
Yeah, I think I've seen all the Iron Man movies. I saw a couple of the Superman movies.
But as far as like the you didn't see Captain America yet, and you haven't seen.
No, I haven't seen that.
You didn't see the Hulks.
No.
Did you see the first Thor movie? Did I take you to that?
I think.
Okay, I don't remember. But you saw the Avengers, so you knew the character. You knew what was the general idea of what was going on. So the movie, we're looking at IMDb now for like ratings and stuff, the overall rating. It's a 7.6, it's rated. And of course, you know, we have all the returning characters. You know, we have Chris Hemsworth as Thor. We have Natalie Portman as Jane Foster. Tom Hiddleston as Loki. Everybody seems to be in love with Tom. Anthony Hopkins as Odin. We have Christopher Eccleston as Malkith. How do you say it? Malkith? I can't remember how they said it in the movie. Do you?
No, I don't remember.
Malkith?
Now.
Malkith? Anyway, he's a dark elf.
Yeah.
As the dark elf guy. and also my favorite doctor. So, you know, I wanted to go check it out. Obviously, the first Thor film that I went to see. I wanted to see it. I was kind of excited to see it, but in the past, you know, Thor, the comics have been hit or miss for me. There's been some really good ones that I really love, and there's been some that have just been, they've been okay, you know? So I wasn't sure what to think when I went to see the first movie, and I saw it and they did a really good job with it. I enjoyed what they did there. I enjoyed the fact that they included some of the, characters, that would be in the Avengers later on, like Hawkeye. And I really, you know, I was quite surprised at how much I enjoyed it. And actually, it was the only thing I didn't have of the new ones that I didn't have on DVD. And it was at the time I can't remember, for whatever reason, we were watching some Marvel movies. And so we were at the store and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to pick it up. And I watched it again. And I enjoyed it. I don't enjoy it like Avengers to join it or some of the Iron Man ones with I can watch over and over again. I mean, I'll watch it again, but I'm not sure that it's something that'll be a whole lot of repeat viewing. You know, like there's certain ones that I can just watch again and again because they have such cool battle scenes. Thor 2 fixed that problem as far as the battle scenes. There's a lot of action in the movie.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, there was a lot of really good battle scenes. And I know some people were complaining about... Jane's character, Jane Foster, Natalie Portman's character. Some people were complaining that she was not, she didn't do very much with her. But obviously, she was kind of integral to the plot. You could have had another character do what she did. But, overall, you know, if I was going to rate this movie, I think probably 7.5 is about where I would put it. How about you?
I really liked it. I guess there were some things that maybe I didn't love. So I think that'd be about where I'd rate it too. Because it was a good movie.
All right. So I'm not sure, you know, what you want to discuss as far as getting into spoiler territory. I mean, would you, let's do a recommendation. So would you, how old would you recommend? I think this is a PG-13 film, is it not?
I don't know. Like, I think that younger kids could watch it, though, because it's just the whole, like, he is a superhero, you know? So, I'd say as long as they knew that that there were some more intense scenes, I mean, you could be younger and still watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I really so liked you think, it. Like, 10, 11?
Yeah, I think kids that age would enjoy the superhero aspect of it and everything. They just need to know that there are some things that might be like some of the scenes and stuff might be a little different for them.
Yeah. The only complaint that I have, and it's a minor complaint, is I would have liked to see more of the other warriors in the film, you know.
Yeah, they were really cool, and then they just kind of were gone.
Yeah, I mean, they had their parts to play in the overall plot of the movie. They had individual parts during a scene where Thor is trying to, I can't say he's trying to escape, but he's trying to go somewhere and he's being watched. So they all did their part to try to keep eyes off of him. And I liked that, but I wish there was more group battle scenes with all of them together. You know, we start off with a battle scene. The very first scene is him and them, and I get real excited.
I really
excited.
Liked that scene. Yeah, I thought that was a great scene.
I wish we had more of that.
Yeah, I thought the movie was going to kind of revolve more around all of them, but then it kind of faded away from them, and there wasn't very much of them left.
Because as they go to the different realms, they're trying to clean up the realms and bring order to the realms. I thought we would see more of them going from realm to realm to do that, and we really didn't. And I kind of wish that there was more there. Now, Loki, Tom Hiddleston, did a really good job, and I understand why people rave about him, because he's a heck of an actor, and he plays Loki really well.
I loved him, his character. I really, really like him as a character. He's a funny character. I mean, he's not a good character, but he's funny, and I love the parts he played in this movie.
And I think him and Thor played off of each other very well. I mean, he seems to be pretty flexible. Like, he can do that with anybody, you know what I mean? But him and Thor especially, because they have that whole brother relationship.
Yeah. I like their relationship throughout the movie, too.
Okay, I'm going to set, we're going to do 4 minutes. I'll give you a mark here in a second, and we're going to talk spoilers. So those folks don't want to be spoiled by Thor, and I'm not sure how heavy these spoilers are, but I don't want anybody to get upset. So I'm going to set a timer, and then when it goes off, we're done talking. Okay, got it? So whatever you're saying, just stop saying it, and we'll move on to the next film.
All right.
Okay?
Yep.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right. All right, we're in spoiler zone. So.
Okay.
I think one of my favorite scenes, and I think this is kind of a spoiler for people who haven't seen the movie, is when Thor goes down to the prison after his mother has been killed and they've had the funeral, and Loki's standing there and he's basically reveal yourself, and you see that it's all an illusion, that he's not at all put together. He's a mess.
I love that part, because it just really showed, like, his character. He's not as tough as you'd like. He wants to portray himself as.
He seems to be like a little lost about what, you know, what his role is. I mean, he still has that passion that he wants to be the ruler of Asgard, but at the same point in time, you know, he does have good values, and he did love his mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I like, you know, when him and Thor plan, you know, put their plan together of how they're going to try to stop the ultimate weapon, you know. And then when they go there and they have the battle, you know, Loki betrays him. What did you think?
I really thought, I was like, okay, this is a possibility that they're doing this, but I think that there's something deeper that maybe eventually he'll betray him, but I don't think it's during this battle. I think that they have this planned out. Like, I don't know why. I just kind of really felt like, after seeing Loki in the state that he was in the beginning, all torn up, that he wanted to do something that would have made his mom and stuff proud. You could just tell that, like, this was what he was going to do. This is going to be his good thing he wanted to do.
Yeah, I in the beginning of that, I thought maybe he was betraying him, but then when he cut off Thor's arm, I was like, nope, this is an illusion. There's no way that that's going to happen. And then we got the reveal that, in fact, it was all a plan, but they just weren't able to stop it.
Yeah.
What else did you like about, you know, what other things that are spoiler zone-ish that you thought were good?
I really liked the end.
What about it?
Like, just the fact that, like, when you see, like, Loki sitting in the chair at the end, you're just kind of, like, you don't know what to think. You're kind of surprised. At the same time, you're not, though. Like, you wanted to believe he's going to be a good guy, but you know that he's still going to be a bad guy, and you still like that he's, like, a bad guy.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny because when you think it's Odin telling Thor to go to the woman that he loves or whatever, you're like, oh, that's really cool. And then when you find out it's Loki, suddenly your emotion just changes because although Thor is going to go and be happy, you realize that, you know, Loki is still plotting and scheming and trying to find a way to take over the throne.
Because that scene was really great. And you're like, oh, man, his father's like, okay, this is good. He's going to get to go do what he wants to do. And you're kind of like, oh, this is a nice little ending. And then you realize it's Loki and you're like, well, I mean, now you don't even know what to think.
Yeah, right. I enjoyed that. You know, I thought that was a, of course, you know, it made me really curious what's going to happen next. I mean, where is Odin just, you know, in a bathroom break or something and Loki just stepped into the throne or, you know, what happened? What's going to be the next step, you know? And I guess we'll find out in the next phase of movies. But so what did you think about Jane Foster's character? Did you think she was a strong character? Did you think that?
I don't know. I liked her like being like she wasn't like really like physical like in defeating people, but I like the fact that she was smart.
Also, Thor's mom, badass.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome. Yeah, she was one of my favorite characters. And she was like when she started being like real protective, but she's so tough.
I was glad she had a little bit more to do this film, and I wish that they would have done more with her. But obviously, you know, being on Asgard, it's more of a Viking thing, more set back in ancient ways, and you know.
Yeah.
But at the same point in time, you know, you have, you know, female warriors there as well that were training.
I love that. I love that they have female warriors there because so many movies, like, don't have female warriors.
Yeah, and they were, I just wish we would have saw more of the warriors and, you know, saw more of them doing, you know, saw more of Sif and seeing what she was doing and, you know, what the warriors were doing. Well, our spoiler time is up in right now. Okay.
All right.
So, next film.
Next movie. Now, I have to say, these books were amazing. So, our next film we're doing is The Mortal Instruments, City of Bones.
Okay. So, The Mortal Instruments
is the most amazing book series ever.
Okay. This came out in August 2013. And
it was amazing.
Yeah. So, the thing is that
nobody liked it except me.
Well, it's showing a 6.0 rating, and I would actually rate it a little higher than that. I think this movie, what it suffers from, and it's a shame, it really is that I think people looked at this and thought that they're trying to capitalize on the whole Twilight thing. And, you know, I know you love the Twilight books. I'm not knocking them because I never read them, but I think we can all agree the Twilight movies, not that great.
No, I like the books, though. The books are pretty good.
You know, I sat through all of them, saw them all. I actually watched the first movie by myself because you guys already saw it. And we're going to go see the second one. I wanted to know what was going on. But we saw the rest of the theater, and there were a couple good action things.
Yeah.
But overall, the movies really didn't really do it for me. But unfortunately, it doesn't seem as though this movie made enough money that there's going to be any more, which is a shame because this actually had a good cast.
Yes,
and
I know, like, everything, like, I was on Tumblr all the time watching for Cassandra Clare, the author of the book, like, posting all the casting things, and, like, I really liked the cast, and they did really good, like, they really knew who their characters were and how to portray it, and so I'm really sad it didn't do good because there's going to be 6 books in this series, and I wanted to see everything be made into a movie because I really enjoyed the movie. Even though there were changes from the book, the changes weren't bad. I mean, there were some things I was like, oh, you could have done differently, but I really liked the movie.
Yeah, I thought the movie was good, and it's a shame that it got kind of the bad press before it even started because people didn't understand what was going on because everybody's trying to jump on this young adult, you know, trilogy of books or longer, and rather than giving them its due, it seems as though...
I feel like I've been waiting for this book to come out for so long, like this movie, and then everybody just kind of groups it with the movies that aren't doing good, that aren't good.
Just to go on a quick side note here, and we'll come right back to this, but, you know, the Divergent books, Divergent,
oh my gosh,
Insurgent,
I'm so excited.
Allegiant, we read them all, and I gotta say, as far as the young adult stuff's concerned, I like The Hunger Games more, but this is probably my second favorite.
Yeah, I really love the series.
And without giving any spoilers whatsoever, what really is interesting to me is the third book when you find out exactly what's going on in this world.
Yeah, that's probably one of the craziest parts.
Yeah, great science
fiction. I have to say, we were in the theater. Were we watching Catching Fire? And the preview come on, and like in the first 3 seconds, I was like, Dad, you know what that is? And he's just still trying to figure out what's going on.
It's been so long since I read the first book.
Yeah, I was so excited. I'm really excited. The main character is a little bit different than I pictured her, but I'm really excited to see the movie come out. It's coming out in March, I believe.
Okay, I just want to mention that the books are some great science fiction for anybody out here who wants to read them. They really are. We don't spend too much time talking about our feelings. I mean, I read the Mortal Instruments books because Rihanna was reading them, and I wanted to know what she was into.
I love them so much.
And they're definitely the market. You know, the audience for that is definitely young adult girls. You know, there's just too much talking about. We're talking about our feelings. I love him. I don't love him.
Mortal Instruments, that's a lot of books. It's going to be a 6-book series, and the 6th book is yet to come out. But Cassandra Clare wrote another series of books, The Infernal Devices, which were 3 books, and I enjoyed those. I mean, I really liked Mortal Instruments, but if we had the option of which one was made into a movie, I would pick those. I think that if you're going to read one, I would suggest that one, because The Infernal Devices were amazing. I really liked them a lot more, and there was feeling stuff, but I liked the fights they had. Like, the Mortal Instruments is so much just about, oh, we're not defeating, like, one main thing, really. Well, like, we kind of are, but, like, as the books go on, it's more like, oh, we're just fighting demons. But, like, in the Infernal Devices, you're fighting one certain thing throughout all the books.
Right.
And I really liked that.
Well, the Mortal Instruments, you know, my problem, the thing I didn't like about the books is they were too decompressed. It took too much time to get from point A to point B. And if she'd have tightened that up, then the action would have been spaced out enough.
I think it should have been about 3, maybe 4 books like The Infernal Devices are, but it's going to be 6 books. And now I'm just kind of like, okay, I need to finish the series and move on to something else, waiting for the 6th book to come out.
Right. Which is a shame, because this is the one time, like for me, the movie did such a good job of compressing the things that could be compressed. It did a good job, but, you know, part of the problem is that you're also trying to build a world. Any first movie to a series, you have to build the world for everybody to know what's going on, so you can understand the ramifications of things people do. And she was building the world, and there's so much intricate detail in the Shadowhunters and, you know, the vampires and the werewolves, and you're trying to learn all this stuff. And it takes time to explain that, you know?
Yeah, because even in the first book, when I started it, once I finished the first book, and I was like, okay, I'm finally starting to understand. I had to go back and read, like, the first 3 chapters, because those first couple of chapters, I didn't really understand all I could have.
Right.
Once you read the whole book. So, like, I think that that's always a hard thing to do.
Yeah, I agree. I think that they, and like I said, I think the movie did a really good job of that. It really is a shame, and, like, when we came away from the movie, I was surprised at how much I enjoyed it.
I was worried that it would be something that they would just take the book and just completely change it, but they kept a lot of stuff the same, like, and anything they changed, they didn't change it badly.
Yeah, it made sense the changes that they made. And, you know, I would say that overall, I would probably rate the Mortal Instruments probably a 7 for me. Now, keep in mind, I'm not the audience for that, but I liked the action. I liked the world that she was... that they were devising, and it's something I would like to see more of, and it's a shame because, you know, you look at the Hunger Games movies, right? The first movie I liked it, I didn't love it. The second movie, however, blew me away.
I love the second movie.
Because all the little intricate things were explained in the first one. They don't need to go over that origin stuff again, you know? And you could just imagine, like, how good a second Mortal Instruments book would be when they jump right in and start doing what they got to do, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought all the acting in the Mortal Instruments was top-notch, too. They didn't phone it in. I thought they did a really good job with all that.
Because, like, when the guy who plays Jace was cast, there was a lot of, like, complaining on Tumblr and stuff when I was, like, on there looking at everybody's thoughts. But I think that, like,
there was complaining on the internet?
Yeah, I know,
Really?
Isn't it crazy?
I know, right?
Everybody, like, nobody liked him at first who he was cast for, but I was like... I really liked him, and it's just like, I think part of it's just you have to get them in your head from whatever you had before reading the books.
Right.
And I really liked how the acting went, and they all like had the characteristics that they had in the books too.
Yeah, and I appreciated the creatures, like the different monsters that they were battling. Mm-hmm. They did a good job, and I think my favorite thing was, you know what? Do you want to enter the spoiler zone?
Yes, I like the spoiler zone.
Okay. We're going to give, is 4 minutes enough?
No.
Do you have more than that? Because we go longer.
I really like the Mortal Instruments.
Okay. Okay, we're going to jump into the spoiler zone. We're doing 5 minutes, so go.
Okay, so you can go ahead and talk about what you want to talk about first.
Okay, I really enjoyed the scene where Simon got kidnapped by the vampires. And that's kind of like out of left field in the book. But the thing is the movie was compressed enough that it kind of made sense. Mm-hmm. You know, the vampires are vampires and they were going to capture him. And when they went into the house, I liked the way they did everything. I liked the lighting. I liked the way they filmed it. It had a nice creep factor. And of course, my favorite thing was the awesome fight scene that took place.
That was probably my favorite fight scene in the whole movie and the whole, like, everything. It was so much better than I pictured it.
Yeah, they did a really good job.
And you don't get to say that a lot. Like, yeah.
Well, in the books, was the fight scene that, was it that long? Was it that
I don't know.
Aggressive?
I think it was like...
I remember it being less.
Yeah, I think so. But I think it's like there's more fight scenes in other books that were more so and they just needed something to like make it better. And I really liked that.
Yeah, they really cranked it up. I really enjoyed that scene. And I enjoyed, like I said, all the characters and the acting was top notch. Now you got 4 minutes left. Go.
Okay. Let's see. Alex's character in the movie. I liked him. He was good. I didn't really like... I think that he should have got developed more in the first movie. What do you think? Like... They kind of, like, the only time we really ever really see him is when he's mad at Clary. And we don't really see a lot more of him. And he is a really important character.
Yeah, he should have been developed more. And that was one of the characters where, unlike the other characters, the Alex character was definitely more emotional. You had to have more understanding of his background and why he's the way he was.
Yeah.
And that was definitely something, I can't believe I'm saying this, needed a little bit more touchy-feely to it, so you understood where he was coming from.
Because his character, you learn as you go on, is just so much more than you imagined, so it's hard to like, all right, now this is all we have on him, and it's kind of like, where do you go from there? You needed more.
Yeah, you definitely needed more, but I understand the compressing of that, and of course, if you're going to get more films, then you would
learn more.
Yeah, you would learn more.
Let's see. The fight scene in the very beginning... Wait, what's she fighting again? What's that demon's name?
I cannot remember.
It starts with an R, I think.
Yeah, I cannot remember.
Yeah, okay. Well, she's fighting the demon, and the thing is, in the books, she, like, defeated this thing, and it was, like, this big feat when Jace came to, like, her rescue, and she defeated this herself. But in the movie, it's like he comes and helps her defeat it. So she doesn't, like, you don't get that man. She's really cool, like, right from the beginning. And I kind of missed that because I really, really liked that part. But I really liked everybody's character development. I'm trying to think. Oh, I don't know. What else?
I don't know. That's pretty much all I got for it. I mean, I was just, you know, the problem was is when I was watching the film, I just kept thinking, man, this is going to get all caught up in the Twilight stuff and nobody's going to go see this movie.
Yeah, I know. Because it was all on, like, Twitter and stuff, too, about, like, how it wasn't getting a lot of stuff, and a lot of the young adult authors were like telling people to go see it and stuff.
Yeah,
and
it's a shame.
It's not doing as good as it could have done, and it's very upsetting. I really liked who played Jace. He was one of my favorite. Like, I didn't think he was going to be as amazing as he was in the beginning, and he was just amazing. I loved him as a character. My favorite scene is where they're like playing with the portal.
Yeah,
that is, and that's just like, I like that. I feel like that really shows you his character.
Yeah.
And one of the other changes I don't know if it really changed. The one thing I really liked is when they went into the apartment to look at the tarot cards, and he plays the piano.
Yeah.
When he's playing the piano, I really liked that, and I liked, I just liked, you could tell, and that whole scene there was just really good. And the scene where they see Simon and they have to explain everything to him. They did a good job of that scene because that was like a vital scene.
They definitely did a good compression of that, of making him understand what was going on,
but
rather than dragging
it
out.
Because
in
the books, it was kind of like, okay, we're still not understanding, we're still not believing. You need to believe.
It was really drug out in the books.
In the movie, you get him there, and then you go inside, and it's like, oh, you see this now, you have to believe it.
Yeah, because like in the books, they were like, this is what's going on. He's like, okay, and then he would see somebody say, well, what? And it'd be like, this is what's going on. But they see it, okay, what? It's like, well, you're looking right at it. How many times did I explain it to you? You know?
Liked Luke's character a lot, too, because you had to get that tension between him and Clary when she thinks he's a liar and she thinks this and that. And I thought we weren't going to have that, but we did. We had that, you know.
Yeah, you did
you're
that.
A liar.
And the thing is when you're watching the scene where they're torturing him, it's like, you know that even at the time, you know that
you
he's
know
not,
he
he's,
loves her. You know
yeah,
that he cares for her and that.
But
she's
even though
important.
She doesn't understand it, you know, it really it beats that into your head that he really does care for her and he's
and
not
going
to let
anything.
He's going
to do anything to protect her.
Right. And then if you don't know that, well, then you haven't seen enough movies to realize that, you know, he's just trying to BS himself to save himself.
That was,
any
I don't
pain
know. That
and,
was a really crazy part of that movie, I think.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And again, that was also, we had some good action scenes there, and you had some good action scenes with Luke throughout the film, you know.
Oh,
when,
yeah. I love the werewolves and Time's Up. Next movie.
Okay. Well, wait a minute. Before we do the next movie, a couple things here, a couple bits of trivia. Since you really like this one, let's cover a little bit of trivia we have here. Lily Collins was previously a fan of the books. When she found the film was being made, she made numerous phone calls to ensure her role was Clary.
I know she loved the books. That was one of my favorite things, finding out. It's great when a character already knows the books.
Yeah, and there's a whole bunch of people here that were...
everybody wanted him Jace Whalen to be Jace, the first guy whose name I can't say.
You know, Jamie Campbell Bauer is not my first choice.
But I realized how much I liked him, he's an amazing actor.
He did a really
good job.
Everybody
wanted that first guy. I don't know how to say his name.
Alex Pettifer.
Yeah, everybody wanted him to be Jace. And people are like, when they found out who he was, it's like, oh, I can't believe that he's him. But like, once you get okay, this is what we're going to have to do, you realize he's really a good actor.
Yeah, and Hodge is played by Jared Harris, who anybody who is into science fiction and knows, has seen anything, realizes that he has done he's just a fantastic actor. I mean,
his part, I really like his part, just as the books go on, he gets developed so much. And at first you're just kind of like, okay, here's this guy, kind of runs things a little bit, you're not right. really sure who he is, but I just love his character.
And for listeners of this show, he played... David Robert Jones in Fringe, and he also played Lane Price in Mad Men, the two roles that I think that he's probably more known for than anything else. Having so much material there, he did a really good job on that. He's been in a lot of different things, and he's just a fantastic actor. He just does such a good job. He brings so much to any role, and part of that is because he's not a beautiful man. He's just kind of... You know, he's kind of a plain guy, and he has to rely on his acting skills in order to sell a role.
I think for this role, that was a great part, because he wasn't supposed to, really look like anything in particular. He was just your average kind of guy, it seemed like.
Right.
Who then
right.
just started to develop, and he became this character, and it's kind of almost like a love or hate character, too.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys you're either like, oh man, I really like his character.
And then you start you start to sympathize with some of the decisions he made, but we're out of the spoiler zone, so I don't want to spoil anything that's going on. So let's go to the next film.
Our next thing, which was so much fun to watch. We're doing the long one next, right?
What are we doing? What do you want to do?
I thought you said you want to save the one for last.
Okay, so you want to do Lord of the Rings next?
Yeah, we'll do Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings now.
Okay.
Which was amazing. I watched it for the first time over Thanksgiving break, and now I'm reading the books, which is going pretty well.
Okay. Of course, we watched the extended cuts. Because, that's the only way to watch it, because it's so much better that way. The Lord of the Rings, for those people that... I was trying to look at the years of when they came out. The Fellowship of the Ring was 2001, then you had 2002 for the second one, 2003 for the Return of the King. And, it's one of those films that I thought at the time was done so well that... It was definitely it's kind of the fantasy film, right? So I wanted to make sure that Rhiannon saw it, and she showed some interest in it. And I said, well, let's sit down and watch them, but they're really long.
It only took us 3 days, and that's only because we had stuff to do. If not, we still would have done it in one day.
Yeah, well, we watched The Fellowship of the Ring one day, and then
we watched three discs the first day.
Okay,
and then
all right.
two discs the second day, and the last disc the third day.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it was a movie watching Thanksgiving break. One of the days we watched two of the discs and went to see Catching Fire.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
Right. Yeah.
It was so much fun.
Yeah.
Then we got home and I was like, let's just finish that. We'll only be up till midnight, but I was shut down.
Yeah, well, it was just bad timing. But we got up on, because I had to work, Wednesday?
Yeah, so we got up at 8 in the morning.
Yeah, and finished the last disc.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's one of those movies where even though I'm reading the book and I can already see, little differences emerging, it's like, I don't care. The movies were good. The books are going to be good,
Yeah.
It's one of those things you mind about. Like, if you can do a movie that well.
And that's, we were having a discussion about, the books versus the films. And I was saying that, to me now, I just read the books right before we watched the movies. And to me now, excuse me. The books seem a little dry compared to the film, and part of that is because the films spent a little bit more time on character development, which is kind of weird because usually it's the other way around.
Yeah, I know. I do. Even in the very beginning of the book, you kind of notice that, and you notice the different characters that get more development.
Yeah, and we have enough quiet time with the characters in the film, where they're kind of contemplating things that we get to learn a little bit about them. And that really comes through in the last two movies. The first movie is pretty spot on with the book. and it can be a little dry. I can understand how some people kind of mock it or whatever and say, ah, you know, they're carrying the ring, they're carrying the ring, they're carrying the ring. But overall, the you know, they did a really good job. And, you know, part of my problem with the books, the part that came that I felt was dry was like a lot of the battle scenes. It just seemed like, you know, in the movies, you know, you have this big epic scene. It did such a good job that I would start to picture that layout of the land and that layout of the troops when I was reading the books in order to try to keep it
more interesting. Yeah, I think part of it depends on what you do first, too, though. Like, if you would read the books first, then you see the movies, it'd be nice. But, like, I think
I think that this is one of the cases where the way that they filmed it and, you know, how good everything looked during the battle scenes, that it really kind of it really lent itself very well. And, you know, when I'm reading the books, it's like, you know, you can picture that scene in your mind, but then when you see the movie and you see exactly how epic and how crazy that is, that, you know, I tend to picture that more during, you know, now when I did the reread, I was, you know, kind of picturing those scenes a little bit better.
Yeah, I'm like, as I'm reading now, I'm not very far in. I think I'm maybe on like the fifth or sixth chapter. I'm like picturing the book as I go, and I kind of like that. I'm a big fan of reading books first, but sometimes I like to see the movie and get those characters in my head and have it like adds to what you know about them.
Yeah,
you learn with the movie, and then you learn other things with the book, and you can have a really, really developed character that way.
Yeah, you definitely benefit from both. You know, although I have to say that Lord of the Rings did a pretty good job with the characters. I'm not sure that they really left much out, you know, and there's some subtle changes that people got bound to shape about, but I didn't really get that. I will say the extended cuts is the way to go, because I did watch Return of the King the first time. I watched the...
How much longer are the extended ones?
I think that they're way longer. Oh. I think it's probably like an additional 45 minutes to an hour of material. Talk about them and I'll look it up. Talk.
Okay. What about them?
I don't know. Whatever you want to talk about them.
Let's see. I really liked all of the movies. I was, I don't know. It was like one of those things where you just started watching and you didn't really want to stop. Like, I think we watched like the first one, like completely, like the first discs the whole way through. And then we took like a couple minute break and we came right back and started watching again. I really liked all of the fight scenes. They were really good. I was watching like some other, I didn't actually watch the discs of the dogs back there, if you're looking for. All of the special effects, but I was watching some of it on YouTube, and just some of the things they did to make these things happen were really, really cool.
Yeah. That's all you got.
I don't know. I don't want to like do spoilers now.
Well, I think in this case you can do spoilers because the movie's 10 years old. So we're doing spoilers. If you haven't seen it, I don't know what you're waiting on. There's no sense of waiting. Let's.
Let's see. In the books, the one thing I like is like in the very beginning you're really like developing Mary in them, and in the movie it doesn't happen quite so fast, and I think that's an interesting difference I've just been noticing as I've been reading the beginning of this book. It's like I don't mind the difference, it's just interesting to see that you're not really developing him as much so quickly.
There's 49 minutes of additional footage in just Return of the King.
Okay.
And the series, we watched the Platinum Series Special Extended Edition, which
I really liked it.
Yeah, well, it's funny because the DVDs, it's a four-disc set. It's going for $47.97 on Amazon, and then you can buy the entire Blu-ray set for less than that. And I think that the next time around, I'm going to buy, I think next year, we'll do a rewatch again next year. And when I do, I'm going to buy the Blu-ray set and just have it, because everybody says it looks really good. And as much as I enjoy the DVD set.
I could see how it would look good. I mean, the DVDs look good, but I could see how that would look even better.
Yeah, there are certain scenes in the DVD where I'm like, it looks kind of grainy, and it would be nice if it was we had more of the more HD, you know, in that. And it's just kind of nice having it all compact and not have to switch discs through and stuff like that. But
yeah,
but it's nice to have that break too when you're watching it. It's definitely more of a you know, you get there and you're like, and then they get to a part and it's like, I can almost tell you where they're going to break. And then they do. And I'm like, yep, that's the break. And then we'll get up and go get something to drink or whatever.
Yeah,
take the dogs out
down.
And then, you know, come and sit down and settle in and start watching some more. But I could definitely do a marathon where I watched them all for sure.
I know. I kind of wanted to. We just didn't really have the time for that.
Yeah,
and
well,
I think it'd be fun to
that's
do.
Something that you can, it can be an annual thing.
Okay,
you can do
I'm
with,
okay with that.
Yeah, you can invite your friends over and do like a big Lord of the Rings thing. So of the three films, I mean, I know it's all one story, but they are three individual films.
It's hard to even separate them in my head now.
Yeah, it
like,
is kind of
hard. After, because we watched like three discs one day.
Yeah.
Let's see, I'm going to have to go with the second one.
Yeah, the second one had a lot, but my favorite battle scene's in the third one, and I think the third one's probably my favorite, but I don't know, is that that's kind of cheating because it's kind of like the ending, it's kind of everything coming together.
Yeah.
And so maybe
where's just the battle scene where with the, like the first one with the Oliphants and they're like
the dogs playing ball with herself again.
The first one and like
when they first see the Oliphants.
Yeah, no, not when they first see it because that's just like Frodo and Sam alone. But the actual battle scene with them.
It's not the battle scene at the Black Gate. It's the battle for, oh God, what is the name of the?
I don't know, but that's my favorite battle scene, I think.
Yeah, that was, I mean, the scene itself, yeah, but my favorite, like, I like when they go to the Black Gate and he's giving a speech and the guy brings out the mithril shirt and everything and he just cuts off his head.
Yeah.
You know, he's just like, okay, we're done talking.
Yeah.
You know.
I really did like, I mean, that's a great battle scene, but aside from like that last one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I liked, oh.
And even now, the special effects don't look that bad.
No, they don't at all.
There's, you know, obviously there is some scenes, you know, there's some things that look, the CGI, it probably isn't quite up to par today. But it didn't bother me,
it doesn't really bother me. There's nothing you're like, oh, that doesn't even look good. Like, it all looks good.
So, favorite character?
I don't know. This is a hard decision for me. Because, like, even, like, reading the books now, I'm always like, oh my gosh, I just like all of them. I like Sam, and I like Merry, and I like Pippin, and I don't know, I like everybody. I like Frodo, but I don't really like him a lot. I just find that, I don't know, I mean, I guess it's all the stress and stuff, too, which is why his character's like he is. I just didn't love his character.
Yeah, he's. I think he's definitely downplayed a little bit in the movies, you know, compared to the book. In the book,
he was like so friendly and stuff, like just in the beginning.
Yeah.
In the movies, he was never really friendly, and I kind of missed that.
Yeah.
He was always just kind of like slightly like bitter about things, it seemed. You know, like super like happy and like, you know.
Yeah, like he always thought he was going to go off and do something rather than embracing the hobbit lifestyle. You know,
yeah,
maybe
it's
that
just
was
kind of
it.
Like, yeah, and like in the beginning of their journey, like he's not as, I feel like he kind of like doesn't treat Sam very well at all in the whole beginning.
Yeah,
and
like,
I just kind of wish that like in the books, it's kind of a little bit different already. Like he kind of is a little bit nicer, it seems.
Yeah, and I think part of the movie, part of that is it's kind of like one of those lesson things where it's like, you know, be careful what you wish for, you know, kind of deals where it's like he wants to go out and about and then he does and then all he wants to do is go back to the Shire.
Yeah.
You know, it's like he had something good, didn't realize it, you know.
Yeah.
I'd have to say that my favorite character is probably Legolas.
Yeah, I like him and I like everybody. I like everybody in the Fellowship.
Every time I watch it, though, there's somebody new. Like last time it was Aragorn.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's like every time like you look at it, oh, wow, I just like knocked my glasses off. Every time you look at it in a different perspective, you like realize something great about another character. You're like not thinking. And then you're like, oh, like you're paying attention to like one character in a battle scene. Then you kind of like look at the other side of the screen. You're like, man, he's really cool.
Yeah, I think that they do a really good job, especially I felt as though they did a really good job playing Gimli and Legolas, you know, together. You know, they did a good job in the books too, but I thought they did a really good job in the film, and I wasn't sure they were going to be able to pull off that camaraderie that they developed.
I love that. It's like they're like that they're friends, and you know they are, but they like don't want to be. Like, it was almost like they were forced into being friends, then realized that they really did match well. You know.
Yeah.
Let's see. One of my favorite things was when Legolas has his arrow. He just stabs the orc, then shoots the next one.
Yeah, he's pretty
that
tough
was,
with that.
That was pretty much my favorite thing because I was just like, you didn't even have to use two arrows to kill two people.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
and I'm not sure. I don't remember if they make much mention in the film about it, but there's, you know, they have a discussion in the books where Legolas tells Gimli that he wants to show him the forest, and Gimli says, okay, he said, but I want to show you under the mountains. And, you know, and so in the book they mention that they both go and do that.
Uh-huh.
That's the agreement. If they make it through the war, that's what they're going to do, and that's what they do.
That's awesome.
And, of course, the end of the movie, is way different in the book.
I know. I was just like reading and watching stuff, and I told you I was like watching special features, and one of the things it said was like kind of because they didn't have that in there. You know the scene where he I'm trying to think, where are they at with the elf lady and Frodo's there? It's just him, and he looks into the thing to see, like, what the future will be like.
Right.
That's kind of, like, what it would have been like at the end of the book if it was the same.
Right, right, yeah. And in the book, there's several chapters dedicated to what's going on in the Shire. Brings it back
home. I'm kind of excited for that because that was the thing I kind of missed in the movie. It was just kind of one of those movies where you feel like it ended, and it's like, oh, everything's happy, back to normal, even though it was kind of, like, sad parts towards the end, you know?
Right.
But it was like, I feel like with that, it's like, oh, everything isn't okay. You've not been home for so long, you know.
Well, and they show like the rebuilding of the Shire, mm-hmm. like what they've had to do to try to bring it back. And the thing is, and realistically, that would have probably taken an additional hour of you'd have an additional hour of filming.
I think the way
it
ended was good. It just, I mean, you can. It's not like you're missing. Like you can go and read that, you know.
Yeah, I was quite satisfied with the way everything played out, and it's one of those things that, as you continue your slow descent into geek culture, you're going to find in your life there's going to be some films or some books or, you know, some probably some films because as time as you get older, you're going to have less and less time. You know, I don't know where it all goes, but it all disappears. But there's going to be, you know, certain things that you like so much that you make like an annual tradition that you go
and
watch.
Yeah, I want to watch Lord of the Rings just all the time now.
Yeah.
I have a problem with people who have bows and arrows in movies because it's like no matter what they do, no matter how many people they shoot, they never run out of arrows.
Right.
I don't understand it.
Yeah, and there's actually a... a bit in a book after they fight the orcs that Legolas goes around and gathers up arrows because he doesn't have enough, you know, arrows.
It's just like in movies, it's always like that. No matter what movie you're watching, it's like people never run out of arrows. You're like, do they just replenish themselves?
I think there's one or two scenes in a movie where Legolas is like, I'm out of arrows, you know, I'm out. And then he starts fighting with something else, you know.
Yeah.
But you figure your only long range weapon that you can handle
is
your bow.
Yeah, that's why I've always liked bow and arrows. Because like when you see even the fight scenes in that movie, it's like everybody has to like run forward. And the people with the bows are just like, oh yeah, I don't have to do that. I can just shoot from far away.
That's true. That's
because,
true.
Like, that like back... older times, especially when they didn't fight with guns and stuff, like that was the only thing you didn't have to get so close for.
Right.
So it was almost like the safest like thing to use.
So you know, you've seen all three of those films, and you've seen The Hobbit now, right? You've seen the first Hobbit movie.
Yeah.
Okay. Now The Hobbit, we're going to talk a little bit about that because what they've done with The Hobbit movie is they've worked really hard to tie it in a big way to mm-hmm. Lord of the Rings. They worked very hard. And when you read the Hobbit book, which is the shortest book, but apparently they're going to make three films out of one book.
They're going to make three?
And then three films out of three
books.
Yeah.
As it makes sense.
Yeah, I enjoyed The Hobbit.
I think in the first movie, I didn't read the book yet, so I wish that in the first movie the characters would be more developed. I'm still like, I don't even know who half you are or what you like. You know what I mean? Like, how you treat people. Like, it's kind of like, okay, we have these characters. Okay, we like these characters. They seem like okay people, but in the Lord of the Rings, it's like, by the first movie, we're kind of like, all right, this is this character. This is kind of how he feels about things, you know?
Yeah.
But in The Hobbit, I don't really have that yet, and it's kind of like, okay, now I need to see the next one. I need to know if they're going to develop these characters.
Yeah, and it seems like in The Hobbit, the book, the dwarves aren't real developed. They're just somewhat there's a couple of them that, you know, they are developed, and the rest of them are kind of like background, and I'm okay with that, except that they're working so hard in The Hobbit to tie it all together into Lord of the Rings. And actually I did a show about The Hobbit and I never posted it because I felt as though it wasn't good enough, so I actually deleted that just about an hour ago. But if you haven't seen The Hobbit and you've read the book, let's go into a little, since I feel as though it's kind of impossible to spoil The Lord of the Rings, because if you're listening to this show and you haven't watched Lord of the Rings, then you're doing something wrong.
We can just say whatever then.
But we'll discuss, you know, do you have anything else that you want to say particularly about The Lord of the Rings?
I don't know. I just really enjoyed them. They're like one of those things that I, like, okay, so after we watched them, I went over to Chris's house and we, like, watched The Hobbit, then we were like, let's just watch Lord of the Rings again, and we started them again, and it was like not even a week since I first watched them, and I was watching the first one, I'm like, okay, this is still just as good the second time. I'm not even bored.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, I think that's the quality that so many movies don't have anymore. Like that no matter what, you're going to notice something new. You're
yeah,
gonna
yeah,
see
something,
it.
Yeah.
And I like that about them. I feel like I could go back upstairs, watch them again, and be like, wow, this is, oh, I never noticed that. This is just as good
yeah,
as the first
time. They're very epic. You did a really good job of making them an epic thing, and that's why I feel as though they're trying very hard to do that with The Hobbit, but they're not doing a very good job of it. With The Hobbit, like, there are things that happened that are not in the book. Like, for example, the Goblin King guy that's chasing down the dwarves, that's mm-hmm. not in the book. That's a whole different sideline.
Yeah.
The whole meeting of, like, the Illuminati, where it's, like, Gandalf and Saruman and the elf woman, whose name I can never remember, no matter how many times I see her on screen, when they're discussing what's happening.
Yeah, I like that part.
That doesn't really happen. The what was the wizard's name? It begins with an R.
The brown wizard?
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked him. He was, I don't know why, I just really thought, I was like, as soon as I saw him, I was just like, huh, I wish that we went into detail about all the other wizards more, because they're pretty cool, you know?
Right.
And I love just seeing him care for the animals. I don't know why. That was just something I really, really liked, getting to see another wizard and just see the differences.
Yeah.
I really liked him. He was pretty
and
cool.
And I did a pretty good job of, but anyway, that character, whose name I'm still looking for, Radagast.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because it's Sylvester McCoy who was Doctor Who. But I just I couldn't remember his name. They mention a character in Lord of the Rings and the Fellowship of the Ring, the first book, where they're talking about everything that has transpired that we have not seen, that the characters each experienced mm-hmm. and on their own before they meet in Rivendell. And he comes across, I'm almost positive, as Radagast. I'm so terrible with names that but he comes across a character and a wizard, and they have a conversation. And kind of like what they find out is what you find out in The Hobbit. So they kind of transpose that a little bit to the other movie, or that information you're getting, but there was much more to it.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. It's just that I just read The Hobbit. So when I was watching The Hobbit, and I didn't even really care that much about The Hobbit, because I felt as though they were trying to shove too much. They were putting too much filler in the films, because I knew they were going to make it 2 or 3 movies when they first announced it. And I was like, I don't know if they can do that. You know, we'll see what happens. And I do like what they've done. But first of all, I'm not a big fan of prequel movies. Okay, first of all, and second of all, it's not that The Hobbit is bad. I mean, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good movie.
Yeah, it was good.
But it's not Lord of the Rings. Of course, we haven't gotten to, you know, the second film, but there's just not as much heart into it. It's more of like we're going on a little adventure.
I think the thing is, it's just that it's just too much filler. Because Lord of the Rings, the books were 3 books, 3 movies, and I mean they were long movies, but they were good. But then you're taking The Hobbit, and it's gonna be like a short little book that's gonna be turned into so much stuff that it's just kind of like we just had all this like epic movies and books, and now you're just like making this just this really long drawn out thing.
Yeah, rather than having an epic story to start with, they're trying to make it an epic story. And I think maybe part of the problem, at least for me, when I tried to think about it, is that Lord of the Rings, it is like all of Middle Earth hangs in the balance, where with The Hobbit, it's just some people going on an adventure to try to find some gold and try to reclaim. You know, the dwarves are just trying to reclaim what was theirs, but it's not like...
it's not quite so, like, everybody needs to get involved, everybody needs to do it, like, you know?
Yeah, it's not like they were just displaced and now they have to go back and try to reclaim it. It's been years, and whether they go back or not, is it going to change anything? Nobody knows, you know what I mean?
But, like, in the Lord of the Rings, it's like, oh, everything hangs in the balance, and it's not just one, it's not just hobbits, it's not just elves, it's everybody. Everybody is going to need to do something. This is going to matter to everybody later on.
At any rate, I understand why they were adding more material, because they need to make the movies more epic. And I know some people have been complaining about that. And if they pull it off, good. But at just this point, at movie number one, it doesn't seem as though it is going to be... they're trying too hard to make something epic that wasn't, rather than having what I feel would have been like a fun little film.
Yeah.
Before we get to Lord of the Rings, you know, and everything mm-hmm. that went on there.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I enjoyed it. It was a good time. I enjoyed the special effects. I enjoyed, you know, the movie for the most part. But it's no Lord of the Rings. At least at this point it isn't. You know, and then you look back at the Fellowship of the Ring, and I think about that first film, and a lot of places that's kind of slow too. So maybe...
Maybe
when we want to see the second and third film, it'll be like, okay, well, this is really done a really good job with this. It's a really big deal, you know. So I'm kind of excited to see what Smaug's going to look like in the new film. They've been doing a really good job of not showing very many of his features.
Yeah. So I think one of the measures of how good a movie is how many questions I ask during the movie. And during Lord of the Rings, I pretty much understood everything. I didn't have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
I think that's important because when you have movies that I'm still over there, like, I don't know what's going on. I don't understand
it. Sometimes
this.
You ask questions of stuff that I don't know either. And I'm like, how do I know? I'm just not watching it too. You're like, why is he wearing brown shoes? I don't know.
But, like, the only thing that was really confusing was two S names in the first, in the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I've never liked that.
Yeah, because I'm like, they're both bad guys. They both have a name to start with an S. I can't keep them straight in my head.
Yeah, it didn't make, I always complain about that, too. So, Sauron and Saruman.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know the difference anymore.
Yeah, that's something you had to, definitely had to pay close attention to figure out
who they were actually talking about. Because, I mean, usually you knew, but then, like, when they'd say, like, both their names in, like, the same paragraph or something, and then they'd be, and I'd be like, I don't, what? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing is, too, is they added the additional love story.
I liked that love story.
Yeah, I think you did a really good job.
I think
job
that was
that.
Great.
And I think it really led heart to the films, that love story. People that complained about it, well, I think it really added... I think it added a whole lot of more weight to those characters than... All right, so do you think we're good? We've sufficiently covered Lord of the Rings, and your thoughts are, and maybe next...
I really, really like
next year, this time, we can have a discussion again about it, maybe, and touch on it again, you know?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
So our last movie is The Hunger Games: Catching Fire.
Now, Rhiannon and I both... came across The Hunger. I came across The Hunger Games books first and was asking you about it.
No.
Yeah. The first one, yeah.
Okay, sure you did.
And then you got it, and then you read it, and then I was reading it digitally at the time, and I remember we were in Disney, and I wasn't paying attention to, like, I mean, who pays attention? I don't look at the page number when I'm reading on my Kindle. I just, like, I keep turning. And then I got to the end of the first book, and I'm like, hey, there's something wrong with this. And I was like, holy crap, that's the end. And I'm like, and we had like next to no cell signal there. So like, and I was like so ticked off that I was like, oh man. And well, then you finished the other two. And it was probably months later before I picked up and finished reading them. But we both equally enjoyed the heck out of the books. We she did a really good job of telling the story. I really enjoyed them. I know some people out there are haters, but just let them hate because I really liked it. And then the first movie, we knew the first movie was going to be, well, after I read the books, I knew they were going to make movies because it was just such a...
It was just so good.
It was a phenomenon.
It was like, I started reading them in sixth grade and there was only like two kids in my class, me and this other girl who read them. And then it was just like, all of a sudden, everybody was like, oh, if you read The Hunger Games, you know?
Right.
And everybody was talking about it. And it was just so great to like, everybody to like something I liked already.
Yeah.
And it was really fun. The first movie, I think, was a good movie. I think there were parts that could have been, I don't know, different, I guess. I really liked it, though. All in all, I think they did a good job. I actually have the disc. I think we got my movie at Target, right, Dad?
Yeah.
And it has two special features discs. And watching some of them was really interesting, like...
Okay, well, let's point out that I bought the movie for you for Christmas. It's still in the plastic until last week.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't know. I kind of lost it for a while because it was in the cupboard and I didn't think it was not the cupboard, but like, I didn't think it was there. And so I was looking for it one day and I couldn't find it and I just got mad.
Well, I know that when the movie came out, we got real excited and I bought us limited edition print run t-shirts that matched. And
they were so great. We didn't go to the first one. We went like really late at night though.
We went to a midnight showing. Yeah.
And it was so much fun. And we're wearing our matching shirts. It was great. So this time we didn't wear matching shirts, but we both wore Hunger Games shirts.
Yeah, and there wasn't a midnight showing this time either. And, you know, oddly enough, the movie, I think, I'm not real sure, but I know the movie did real well. I'm not sure if it beat the other one or not, but money-wise. But the movie itself was it was like, you know, like when you're watching a film and it goes on for more than 2 hours, you start looking at your watch, that's when you know, you're like, oh man, this is kind of dragging. But like, it was over, and I'm like, oh my God, you know, because I knew the ending was coming up.
Yeah, my only problem was, I need to know lengths of movies before I go, because I really had to go to the bathroom, and you can't leave during the Hunger Games.
Right.
And so movies just need to stay at 2 hours.
Yeah. But the thing is, when it was all said and done, you know, I thought that...
It was great.
Yeah, it was not always a good movie, but it was like, wow, that really went really fast, you know, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I know, I really did it. It was really good, and there was never parts where you're like, okay, all right, come on, this is dragging on.
Yeah.
You just were kind of like, oh, okay, this is new, this is cool.
Yeah, and they kind of did a good job of setting up the world in the first movie. So the second movie, they could just focus just on the games and the people and what was happening, you know, and you mm-hmm. could,
yeah,
you know, you didn't spend a lot of time, like, you didn't have to spend a lot of time explaining characters. Even when they were picking, when they were showing the contestants, we didn't spend a lot of time. They spent enough time to explain to us, the audience, what these people meant, but that was it. You didn't spend a lot of, they didn't decompress it, you know, there was more.
Yeah, like, I think if you read the books, you have, like, a little bit of a bigger understanding, but if not, you still would understand it perfectly fine.
Yeah, and it still works. Kind
of, yeah.
You know, it still worked without them having to explain everybody's past and what they were doing yeah. and things like that, you know. So, I mean, I really enjoyed that part of it. And, you know, the movie was just so much better than the first one. Because I was excited to go see this, but I thought, man, I thought, I hope there's not, like, those dry moments like in the first
yeah,
one.
Yeah, because
know?
Me too. Because when I was dying, and I was like, it's so much better than I thought. My mom was kind of surprised. She's like, you didn't think it was going to be good? And I was like, I thought that it would be good. I didn't think it would be as good as it was, though. I set myself low expectations. That way I would be pleasantly surprised no matter what happened.
Yeah, it was really...
It was a lot better than the first one. Like, I have to say, I liked the people in the first movie. Everybody, I liked the actors and everything. It was just, like, it was just kind of, there's so much, like, we have to figure out what's going on, you know? We have to, like, set the stage. It's kind of like, if you already know what happens, like, especially if you read the books, you're kind of like, when they're setting the stage, and you're like, okay, come on, yeah. We gotta finish this.
Yeah.
So the second one, it just kind of, you can jump right into this, and it was really, I really liked it.
So we can agree. I mean, I think the Hunger Games up there is probably a good solid 8 for me, on a scale of 1 to 10. Although usually digger shovels, we do 5, and then we'd give it a 4 if that was the case. I was just trying to do by like the IMDb rating. I'm not sure what IMDb rating is. So mm-hmm. I'm going to look for that now while you talk about it.
Let's see. All the characters, I believe, were very well portrayed. Everybody 8. Acted 2. Like I expected them to. Let's see. Finnick's my favorite character from the books, from the second time reading them, just because I love how he acts and how, like, once you learn more about him, you realize, like, a lot of stuff he's been through.
Right.
And so I really liked him portrayed as a character, because I feel like if when we get to the third movie, he'll have that side that, you know, you learn about later on, that kind of, like, sensitive side where he's actually, like, a really caring person.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Let's go into spoiler territory. I think we've talked a little bit about the movie and what we thought about it, but I think it's kind of hard to...
talk very much without spoiling things for those who haven't seen it. So, and it's a newer movie, so...
Let's set the spoiler... What do you say? 6?
8? Sorry, you do 8? That might be too long.
Okay, well, we're going to go 8. It might be a little bit shorter than that. But, you know, the one scene that I was waiting for, that I wanted to see what they were going to do, was when they were talking about, you know, when he did the reveal on her wedding gown and ended up being, you know,
that was amazing. I didn't think it was going to go quite so well, but just watching it was amazing.
Yeah. And also, the chariot ride
was awesome to watch.
Yeah, but it wasn't as big and epic as it seemed like in
the
book.
No, but
you know?
It was, like, the first time we didn't really get to see it at all, so at least we got to see something of it.
Right.
But, in the book, it seemed like everybody was, like, being held back and stuff. But, like, it made it, like, I felt like the top of the top people should be there, you know?
Right.
And it was kind of just everybody crowding around and stuff.
And I like the... But anyway, when Cinna did that, you knew that there was going to be repercussions. You know, you knew that in the book, and you definitely knew that in the film. And when she was in the tube, I was just waiting.
Yeah, I was just like, I don't want this to happen.
Yeah, I'm like, are they going to do it? Are they going to do it? What's going to happen? Then they came in and did that just to put her on edge before she went into the arena.
Yeah, and it's like, his character's so great because, you know, like, he shouldn't be doing what he does, but it's just like, he realizes how much everything means, and he realizes what he's going to have to do.
Right.
And he's willing to do it no matter what. Although I wish his assistants were a little bit better developed, because in the books, they were kind of more developed, you know?
Right.
The assistants, even, like, PETA's assistants getting him ready and stuff.
Yeah.
Let's see. The whole beginning was really good. The scene where they go to Rue's district, amazing.
Yeah, they did a really good job of that.
I think Haymitch is hilarious.
You know, now we have the difference, the biggest difference, and I've talked about this before, between the book and the movies, is, like, the book, it's, she's very reluctant, and not only is she reluctant, but she's kind of doesn't understand what's happening. And so the whole, like, revolution beginning is something that's very much underneath the characters. It's like the movie's about the characters, the fact this thing is happening, and they're kind of using her You kind of, in the book, it's more as though everybody's kind of using her for, you know, a symbol for the revolution, and she doesn't care about that. She's just trying to survive. And like the whole revolution thing is very downplayed in the book. It's not, you're not really supposed to understand that that's what's happening. But in a movie, that's very much in the forefront. We see many
scenes. I don't think that's bad. I actually kind of enjoy
it.
I think it's something.
It changes it.
Yeah,
it changes the dynamic of things.
Yeah, and
you know?
It's not a bad change either. Like, there were a lot of changes from the books to the movie. Not like a lot, like minor things, but things that I really enjoyed.
Well, I like the way they change that, because you don't really change the story or anything. They just
kind of
make that more,
yeah.
You know, you have more inferences of seeing the revolution happening and things going on. Now, I like the arena. I like the way that they did the clock face on the arena.
Yeah,
I
was excited to see that. It made it look really good.
Yeah, it did a good job with that.
I
was real happy with that.
Meeting the game maker, because from the books, you know, deep down, he's a good guy if you already read the books.
Right.
So, like, right upon meeting him, I'm like, all right, this is the guy. How's he going to act in the movies? Because he can't let anybody know he's up to anything.
It seemed as though, like, in the book, though, he was portrayed as being kind of slow and stupid in a lot of ways. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Just kind of
like
kind of oblivious to everything around him.
Yeah, but
know?
Then in the movie, he was kind of more, like... Like, when he dances with Katniss, like, I really like that scene, because I knew, because I read the books, like, okay, you're going to be a good guy later on.
Yeah,
you know?
he definitely seemed more scheming, right?
Yeah, and it was like, you could tell just in his eyes, just the way he looked at her, like, yeah, we got something planned for you, you just don't know about it yet. I loved the thing they did with Finnick that they didn't do in the books when she goes to shoot him right in the beginning of the arena, and he's like, good thing we're allies.
Yeah.
I really liked that, because it was like, she didn't ever pick her allies, she just kind of got stuck with who he was wanted her to be with, and I love Finnick and... Mags, is that her name?
Yeah.
Their relationship. I loved it in the books.
Yeah.
And in the movies. That was just a great relationship they had. And her walking off was just one of the saddest things in the books.
They portrayed her very well in the movie. Much better than I thought they were going to.
Because she's such like this friendly like lady who was willing to give her life for this young girl. But, you know, it's just great. And her and Finnick's relationship, even in the training, was portrayed so well.
I like when they were training and there was the force field and they were talking about it. She goes, yeah, it's probably my fault.
Yeah, that was one of my, I thought that was hilarious. I loved all the characters, the way they portrayed.
One of the things in the movie that I really enjoyed and I thought they did so well was in the book, you know, they spend so much time talking about, like, she's just like an everyday kind of girl, and they're always primping her and combing her hair and doing all this stuff. And they spend a lot of time, like even in the second book when she's going ready to go to Hunger Games for a second time, they still take time
to explain all that.
But in the movie, because they have her compressed for time, it just, every time you saw her in the Capitol, she's wearing something different and styled in a different way. And they didn't comment on it, but you just knew that's how it was. They did a really good job with that. I really like that.
One of the things I really liked was I was worried about how they were going to do everything in the clock. And we didn't start this.
Okay.
I loved all the characters, how they were portrayed. I really liked the scene with the birds. I really didn't think that. I was worried they weren't going to do that scene. I liked that scene. I liked the way it was portrayed when she runs in there after her sister. And I liked the part that how they added when Finnick was like, where do you think they got those sounds? Because I thought that was a really important part of the book that really got you thinking, how far are they willing to go?
Right.
You know,
right.
It really makes you think, like, how far are they willing to go? You know, and I liked Johanna. Her character was great, because in the books you're like, oh, who are you? You know?
Yeah.
And then, and even in the movies, you're like, oh, I don't know if I like you. But the thing I think I kind of missed with the ending of the movie compared to the book. In the book, it ends and it's like, okay, PETA's the only one the Capitol has. In the movie, it's not so much like that. They have Johanna, too, and I kind of don't like that, because Katniss is not really going to have so much of that realization of, oh, I hated this girl who sliced my arm open, but really she was doing it for the better. And really she's been my ally this whole time, and really she's like this great person.
But we don't know how it's going to play out in the third movie, so maybe they'll do something to make it just as good. The one thing about the arena scene that I just thought was, I mean, it was a good scene, but I just thought people were stupid, was there's a fog growing in. Why now? How would you touch it?
I know. It was just hilarious, that whole thing. She's just like, oh, fog, let me stick my hand in it.
Yeah, what was she thinking? It was just like fog.
Like Chris said when we were watching it, he goes, all I'm saying is if I'm in an arena where people are trying to kill me and there's some fog coming when it shouldn't even be foggy out and it's a weird color, and I'm not just going to be like, oh, let's touch this and see if it hurts.
Yeah, it's unnatural.
She just sticks her hand in it. But, you know, I really have to say, the ending of the movie was good and all, and everybody's like, I don't know why. I didn't like the end. I wanted it to be like super like abrupt cutoff. I wanted it to just be like, there is no District 12. Boom, the end.
Well, yeah, and I think the reason they didn't is because moviegoers would be up in arms. I mean, you're dealing with books versus movies, and books, you know, were more forgiving of endings like that. Yeah. But in movies,
I just really missed that because it's just like that was such a crazy ending in the book. And like when you read the book, you're like, oh my gosh, where's the third book? Somebody go find me the third book right now, you know? And in the movie, you're just kind of like, okay, this isn't even like, it's not super suspenseful, you know?
Right.
It's like everybody's safe. We know they're safe. We're in a plane. There's no District 12. We're going to go 13, you know?
Right, not, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
But in the, there is no District 12. You're just kind of like, what happened? I need to know.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I can't wait to see what they're going to do in the third movie. I'm pretty excited for it to see what what's going to happen.
Yeah, the, definitely.
That's it. That's spoiler time. I do have to say that Jennifer Lawrence did a really good job playing the character. You know, my complaint has always been that I wish that she was a little bit younger like she was in the books. But she does a really good job with the character.
I think so.
You know, I can't wait to see what they're going to do with her in the third movie, because those of you that have read the books, you know that everything steps up a notch. It becomes more about the revolution and all that. And I want to see how she's going to interact, because she plays that character real well, the character of somebody who is very reluctant to do this job. She's kind of pissed at the world where she's been.
Yeah, because even
you know?
In, like, the book, she's kind of, like, almost, like, doesn't care for anybody but herself, kind of.
Right.
And, like, I mean, she cares for her family and stuff. And I just think that that was something you almost didn't want to see in the movie, but they are showing it in a way that's not too extreme.
Yeah, she's just very reluctant. She doesn't know why she's in this situation.
Yeah, it's not just herself. Like, it almost, like, people seem to think she just cares for herself. But it's not that. It's just that her main priority is keeping her family safe.
Right.
And she's just not sure why all this is going on. She's like, I did what I needed to do. Why can't it just be over?
Yeah, and the same thing, like, when the president tells her to convince everybody that you know, it was a love thing and it was nothing to do with going against, you know, the Capitol at the end of the first movie. And, you know, she feels alone. She doesn't even share that with her group until later on. You know,
yeah.
You got to look at the character as somebody who thinks it's her against the world. You know, she doesn't have anybody she can rely on. I mean, she can't rely on her mother because her mother's kind of out of the picture. You know, she's kind of zoned out.
I have to say, in the first movie, when she yells at her mom in the train station, I love that part. She's not being mean, but it's just enough to be like, look, you've done this before. You can't do it again.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that part of the first movie.
And so she doesn't have anybody to turn to. She's got no father. She, you know, she has, you know, mixed feelings for, you know, for Gail and you know, she doesn't really have a person that she can turn to help support her or whatever. And,
yeah.
You know.
Just all in all, everything was just really good.
They did a really good job with it. I was real happy with it.
I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, a book to film conversion. I think that pretty much everything we've talked about that were books, they did a really good job with.
Good job, yeah. Because, like, I mean, it's like when they make big changes, you have complaints. But anything they've did that we've talked about all this episode, like, everything's been so, like, changes worked out for the better.
Yeah, I think
and
so,
they
yeah.
never missed big chunks of things. There was never something like, oh, that was really important. Although, I have to say, Hunger Games complaint that a lot of people complain about, and it's not a big thing, but Madge. Like, if you didn't read the book, you don't even know who she is. And, I mean, like, in the first movie, I just really missed her because she's the reason where Katniss really realizes, like, oh, I do have a friend.
Yeah.
Like, Katniss has to have that realization that all her, like, she's always thought she's been alone, but she realizes she has this girl to turn to, this girl who she's never even known, who really cares for her.
Yeah, and I can understand, you know, again, I can understand why they cut that because of the way they're changing it up a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
First of all, they got to do that just for time restraint, but...
Yeah.
I think it works better, actually, the films, the way they've put them together, actually works better without that character because she's,
like,
more of a one against everybody. She's alone. You know, that's the whole thing.
It's just I kind of missed her because I really liked that realization where Katniss was like, man, at the train station, like, oh, I do have a friend, like, you know.
Yeah.
And that was just kind of a sad thing to miss. But everything else I think was really good. And the other thing in the second movie I didn't like, is it too late now to say this?
No, go ahead.
Well, spoiler.
Minor spoiler, people.
Minor spoiler. In the books, I think it was the second book. Maybe I'm mistaken, it's the third, but when they turn the fence back on. Was that in the third or the second?
I don't know.
That was in the second book. They turned the fence on, and it wasn't in the movie, and I was just kind of like, that was an intense scene. She had to, like, figure out how to get over this fence that's now on.
Yeah, it had to be
on for years and years.
Yeah, it had to be, like, in the second book, because it was right after, like, when the peacekeepers came
in.
Yeah,
and I just kind of missed that, because it was, like, an intense scene. Like, when you're reading, you're like, how is she going to do this?
But you had more build-up of that. You had more build-up of them coming in and trying to make everything really strict. And I just think in the movie, the idea was just, you just need to have the idea that they're coming in and they're cracking down. town.
Yeah. You know, like, there were a big, like, there were chunks of things that you missed, but I mean, like, the things you miss, if you didn't know you were missing them, you wouldn't really care either. Like, right. I like the movies. There are some things you miss, but those are just things that you don't, you're just going to have to realize they aren't going to be there.
Right, right. So, you think we did a pretty good job of tying everything up of all the different movies we talked about?
I think so.
Nothing else?
No, I don't think so. I really liked all the movies we've seen. I was just like, the other day, I was just like, we got a podcast. We haven't done this in so long. We have 6 movies.
And I think that everything that we talked about, everything falls into the whole geek thing. And that's,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool. It's kind of fun now because, like, now I can find little geek sayings and stuff that Rhiannon can relate to, especially about Lord of the Rings and stuff like that, she can...
Yeah, he sends them to me on Pinterest.
Yeah.
He spends more time on there than me. I swear to you.
I do not.
Okay. Sometimes I just open up my phone and I have, like, 8 or 9 notifications of pins I got sent.
And then I think of all the stuff I need to introduce you to. Yeah, we still get Star Trek to go through, and then we still have Doctor Who.
Doctor Who.
Yeah.
I was just reading something about how long it would take you to watch all of them, and I think I just watched all of them.
Well,
it was only
like
300 and some hours or something.
Yeah, it's crazy. But anyway, so I think we've covered everything really good. Any questions or comments, as always, scifidig@gmail.com is where you can contact either one of us. Anything you have for Rhiannon, I'll pass along. You can also go to the website, scifidig.com, and find all the different ways to follow us. Facebook page. We have a Facebook group.
Yeah.
And, And, you know, there's a Google group and all that stuff. There's an email group. There's all that stuff. You can feel free to join in. I thank everybody for all the interaction over the past few weeks. And I think that's about
this
all I got.
This was great. I'm happy we got to do a show.
Yeah, it turned out real well. All right, so this is Aaron for the Sci-Fi Dig podcast.
And this is Rhiannon.
Over and out.